Hey there, guys. Keith here from Your Main Quest Podcast, letting you know that this is a short preview of an exclusive bonus episode that you can only hear over at patreon.com/themainquest. If you like what you hear and you want to hear the full episode, you can head on over to that address or check out the link in the show notes. And if it's only to get this episode and maybe another one, and you want to cancel, that's cool with me. As long as you get what you want out of the money you've spent, you don't need to stick around. It's no problem. But if you do stick around, you're going to continue to get episodes just like these, as well as many more, and a couple of other bonus perks as well. And one of those perks are shoutouts. And I have to shout out the people here that make episodes like you're about to hear possible. And those people are Kayla Jackson, David Palafox, Eric Guess, Zero Sam, Ashton, Chris Copleen, and Van Fernal. As always, thank you guys for your continued support. Thank you for allowing me to do what I do here on the internet. And now onto this brief preview of a conversation I had with B. Ross from the Super Garbage Day podcast about the Earthbound Halloween hack. So, I mean, as we stated earlier, when you start the ROM hack up, it seems like you're just about to play Earthbound until you get to the menu screen. And this also confused me because, like Earthbound, you go through naming all of your characters. And our main character's name is Varric, which is inspired by the name of the protagonist in a game called Brandish, which...
Brandish, yeah.
I think Toby Fox also made a ROM hack of Brandish before he made this.
Yeah, he was a huge,
if I remember right,
huge fan of Brandish.
Yeah, so
yeah, you are correct with that.
And then you also go through naming like Jeff and Paula and Pooh, kind of like you would in Earthbound. And at this point, like, again, I'm not so well versed with ROM hacks. I'm like, oh, is this going to be like a 25-hour experience like Earthbound? Like, what am I getting myself into? Am I playing like a whole game? And it just
kind of it can be.
Well, I suppose. So I mean, yeah.
If you play without save states,
I mean, I finished this game in maybe about 3.5 hours.
I gotta ask you though, did you use a guide?
No.
Really? Hats off to you, man. I went in just straight in with no, my avatar doesn't have save state abilities. So I got the cheaper one. Big mistake with this game.
I've had to use guides a lot the past month because I've been playing some really fucking obtuse horror video games. Also, I beat this game like at the beginning of September, not to date this episode or anything like that. So it's been a while since I've played this. So
yeah, I think you're correct. Like, it's beatable. There's nothing in it that's too... I think there's a couple areas or a couple things that suck without knowing. I don't think a strategy guide actually hurts you. He included it in the file, actually, that he wrote. He wrote a strategy guide that he included into the file that you install. So, which helps because I think he knew that there were some areas that you could mess up and you can't go back. And there's actually a possibility of soft locking yourself in a lot of parts of this game.
Interesting. Because I thought overall, like, it was incredibly linear, except for there's a bit of exploration that you can do, but it almost seems like a hard barrier. As in Toby Fox was like, I didn't make anything for this, so here's going to be some enemies that are just going to stomp your nuts in, no matter what level you're at.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we talk about like the tunnels.
Yeah, yeah.
there's area that, yeah, they just don't want you to go that way, and it guides you. And it being like an Earthbound hack, we're used to like this wild open exploration initially, at least of every city that we go to. So maybe, yeah. And I think that his point, though, was also this was like for a competition. So I think he had kind of a bit of like a deadline and a crunch time. And it shows a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Like in the graphics, like when we get to Winters. Like Winters, yeah. Like I understand it's supposed to be like as if the region is on fire or it's like some sort of like hellscape. But it looks just off. And I think just the color palette,
it's a palette
just
swap.
Does not look good.
Yeah, it's just a palette swap that is supposed to indicate like a doomed area, a cursed area that we're used to seeing as white. I mean, also you start the game in Tucson, which is
the entire cool. Game apparently takes place in a branching timeline, which is actually 6 months. It takes place 6 months after the events of Earthbound.
Yeah, and your characters, the storyline in this one is that the characters didn't survive
right.
From Earthbound. So, and so, like, you're seeing the extending story of that timeline of, okay, well, they didn't survive the fight, the final fight with, I always call him Gygas, but I don't know what, there's always this debate on what the name
Gygas. I've always said Gygas as well.
Okay, good. Yeah, I've always said Gygas. So apparently the storyline is that they didn't survive the fight with Gygas. And now you're seeing like the world post that fight. Everybody's aware of it. And there's a lot of like sadness, apparently it's supposed to be like it's weird that the whole idea of this hack was supposed to be like a Halloween competition. So it's supposed to be spooky and scary. But Toby kind of gets deep in like existential fears and like mental health fears and things of that nature, which I found to be quite an interesting take on a competition for something horror themed that is a ROM hack of a Super Nintendo game. And I think that shows later on in his later work.
And I think it also might be the community of starman.net, because there's always those kind of darker fan theories behind Earthbound where they talk about how Ness actually isn't alive, that like he's kind of an abortion or something like that. Come to life or right. Whatever. I forgot
that theory. Like he's going to kill himself. Like Gygas
yeah,
is him.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of like really yeah. Weird dark fan theories behind Earthbound. And I think this might be kind of an extension of that. Like, oh yeah. What if Earthbound really was fucked up?
You know, and I can see it. It's crazy too. Cause this was, there was a really good, Angry Video Game Nerd episode on Earthbound. Where he really went into that side saying like, is this story about a person fighting himself in time? Cause he actually realizes that he's going to destroy the world. He's born with the power. So that final fight with Gygas, it looks like the background, apparently the scrolling background is supposed to look like almost like even leading up to it, it's supposed to look like a uterus is the fan theory. And that when you go in there, you kind of see the baby outline and that you're just killing yourself back in time to not be born and destroy the world. But this ROM hack, I think, kind of goes off that theory or is like kind of base. And this came out a decade easily before. I think those theories, or at least I read the theories. I'm sure they were there. But I think that's kind of this ROM hack may be a part of that lore.
I mean, creepypastas at this point were synonymous with like message boards and stuff these days. So it isn't too much of a stretch to believe. And plus being an edgy teenager, like a lot of this stuff is like, you're just coming to grips with like, what is reality? What is the world really about? What is the meaning behind some of this more, these more abrasive topics that people can experience? And, you know, I have to applaud him for trying to implement that kind of stuff into this game. But again, I hate to be an ageist man, but he is 14 years old and does not know how to handle those topics very well. And it shows in this game.
And I think it's obvious. Yeah, it's really obvious in a lot of the dialogue. You know, like there's a point where their character calls these girls sluts. There's a certain F word used. But I found it interesting that a 14, 15 year old had the ability to see so much. To make a game about insecurities being the enemy.
When they dropped that F-bomb, I couldn't believe it. It's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you don't ever really think about it. And then when you see it,
right,
you like take, what is happening in this game? And then I'm like,
I think, well, that part of the game too also was about, I think those being identified as slurs.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of what I was assuming is what happening is that it's being you're hearing and seeing the retelling of like certain types, yes, of bullying or just fears of being bullied, you know? That's crazy for, I think, even though it's, yeah, a very cringy, very edgy, still, well, I think above a lot of 14-year-olds, intelligent pay grade to even be diving into that subject matter. And then, maybe in retrospect, I'm not sure if this is really, maybe he just didn't realize he was doing this, but like the game is, like I said before, is like, it's a, the enemies are, is insecurities. And the timeline is all about failure, and it really harps on that. I'm jumping way far ahead though. I just realized.